I had a friend call me out of the blue, and I just asked him, hey, what's up, like, what's going on? And he just told me that he was driving home from work. I thought, okay, all right, sure, but is there anything else? And he just said, you know, I just like to call people because when I drive home from work, there's a lot of traffic, it takes me about an hour to get home, I get sleepy. So he just thought, hey, I just like to call people. I was like, okay. And then, you know, we chatted and then we said goodbye. And then a few weeks later, I was talking with another friend. And then this topic came up. He was like, yeah, my friend just calls me out of the blue and just talks with me and he wants to chat and he's in traffic and all that. And we found out it was the same guy. And then my friend started saying how this mutual friend that we have just calls him a lot. Okay, calls him a lot. Like, it could be many times in a week. And then just chats with them. And then my friend was saying how it's a little too much. Because when you talk, you know, you need to focus, right? You need to concentrate. You need to think about how to respond, right? You want to be, you know, you want to care for that person and all that. And it can get tiring, right? Maybe once in a while is okay. But many times a week, that becomes a little too much. And then what he would do is that when he would get that phone call, you know, probably around that 5 p.m. time, he would check. And sometimes it was that friend, he would just let it go to voicemail. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, I felt a little bad. I was like, oh, that's kind of mean, right? Like, you're ignoring your friend's phone call. And but then I thought about it more, and I was like, well, if I was in his shoes, I might do the same thing, right? If it was too much, right? It was just, I get tired, right? So that's probably why my friend called me that day, because my friend didn't pick up. But so we know that there's no phone number that we can dial to find God, to reach God. But we have something much better. That's something called prayer. And prayer is the way in which we communicate with God. Just think of it as talking with a friend. Okay? Just talk with God. Normal conversation, right? And in the passage that we read today, Jesus uses a parable to teach his disciples that they should always pray and never give up. In this parable, we learn something about the character of God, or who God is. And we also learn about our relationship with him. So, would you please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18? And let's read together. All right, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18. Right, I'll just begin reading and you just follow along when you have it. So, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? But I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So here we find a story about a judge and a widow. Right, this judge was a man who didn't fear God, so meaning he didn't care about God or what God thought. He didn't obey God, he didn't respect God, show reverence or honor. And not only that, but he also treated people poorly. He didn't care about them. And the only person that he cared about in this story was himself. Right, so we see there's a widow who kept from the same town. She kept coming to him, and she would beg him day after day for justice. And it's possible that because she was requesting for justice, that she was innocent, that she was right. See, widows in this time were generally poor and powerless. In the book of James, chapter 2, it says that true Christians would care for others, including the orphans and the widows. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, we see that seven deacons were appointed to serve the widows in the church because they had needs. But this judge refused. We aren't told exactly why, but after a long, long time, he finally agreed to serve justice on behalf of this widow. Not because he suddenly had a change in heart, not because he wanted to turn a new leaf, suddenly become that judge that does what is right because he has a good heart now. But because he said that the widow kept bothering him, kept nagging at him. She was like an annoyance. And I don't know, maybe perhaps we've experienced that too, that we just let someone finally get what they want because we don't want to get bothered anymore. Maybe if you've had children. Okay. And then in some translations, it says that this judge was afraid that she would attack him. Okay, in some good translations, maybe not in your NIV, but some translations use the word attack. And this attack is a really interesting word because when I read that, I thought, oh, attack like physical assault, like there's a widow that just comes with like a baseball bat and hits him while he's going home or something. Right? But this word attack. It's used to describe a black eye, okay? A black eye that is received through exhaustion. So I want you guys to look at the person next to you and look at their eyes. Look at their eyes. And see if they have black bags under their eyes. Is it dark here? Right, if that person does have, it probably means that they haven't gotten enough sleep, right? They're tired, they're exhausted, right? So, in this context, the judge says that he's afraid that the widow will eventually give him a black eye, right? And which means that he's afraid that she's going to tire him out, she's going to wear him down, that she's going to exhaust him. So for his own sake, he does what is right. He doesn't care about God, he doesn't care about people, only himself. But what is Jesus trying to get at here? So I was reading a commentary, and it puts it really nicely, so I'm just going to read it for you. It says, if the unjust judge yielded to the continuous cries of the widow, who was a stranger, and granted her the vindication she sought, how much more will God, who is just, and their loving Father, hear the cries of his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? We live in a broken, in a messed up world. Just look around you, okay? It's a sinful world. We see suffering and pain. We see it in our homes. We see it in our schools. We see it in our workplaces. We see it in the news all the time. So for the past few weeks, when I've been listening to the news, I would always hear about the Supreme Court nominee pick, right? It's already passed, but... I'll always hear about it, and Brett Kavanaugh, and should he be appointed right to that position? Because some people believe that there's enough evidence that he sexually assaulted a woman during his college years. Right? Others believe that there isn't enough evidence, and that it would be wrong to say that he's guilty until proven innocent. Right? And it's a huge mess. Right? This question, this vote has torn our nation apart. Right? It's made people angry at each other. Like, how dare you? How could you believe that way? How could you think that way? Right? And it starts judging people now. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know if we could be friends anymore or something. And now that he's been appointed, right, we wonder, will this man who has been accused of such horrible actions, will he be able to uphold justice? And believe it or not, people are generally they desire justice, right? And I think it's somehow it's wired inside of us. So I'm going to show you guys a video And basically this video will explain what it's about, so I'm not going to give you guys too much, but humans, we want justice, and probably other life forms also. So let's watch this.
So a final experiment that I want to mention to you is our fairness study. And so this became a very famous study, and there's now many more, because after we did this about 10 years ago, it became very well known. And we did that originally with capuchin monkeys, and I'm going to show you the first experiment that we did. It has now been done with dogs, and with birds, and with chimpanzees. But with Sarah Brosnan, we started out with capuchin monkeys. So what we did is we put two capuchin monkeys side by side. Again, these animals, they live in a group. They know each other. We take them out of the group, put them in a test chamber. And there's a very simple task that they need to do. And if you give both of them cucumber for the task, the two monkeys side by side, they're perfectly willing to do this 25 times in a row. So cucumber, even though it's really only water in my opinion, but cucumber is perfectly fine for them. Now if you give the partner grapes, the food preferences of my capuchin monkeys correspond exactly with the prices in the supermarket. And so if you give them grapes as a far better food, then you create inequity between them. So that's the experiment we did. Recently, we videotaped it with new monkeys who had never done the task, thinking that maybe they would have a stronger reaction, and that turned out to be right. The one on the left is the monkey who gets cucumber. The one on the right is the one who gets grapes. The one who gets cucumber, note that the first piece of cucumber is perfectly fine. The first piece she eats. Then she sees the other one getting grape, and you will see what happens. So she gives a rock to us, that's the task, and we give her a piece of cucumber, and she eats it. The other one needs to give a rock to us, and that's what she does, and she gets a grape, and she eats it. The other one sees that, she gives a rock to us now, gets again cucumber. She tests a rock now against the wall. She needs to give it to us. And she gets cucumber again. So this is basically the Wall Street protest that you see here.
All right, so it's an interesting video, right? Interesting. So we can laugh at this video, but I want you to see the seriousness of what this video can show us. Right? We are quick to point out the unfairness in life. Right? We quickly point out the wrong that we see, that other people do to us. Right? And we hate it when people can get away with wrong. We rejoice when justice is served. Right? When someone is caught cheating, right? You're like, ha, serves you right. Like, I didn't cheat, so maybe my grade won't be as high, but you got caught. So, ha, right? We feel that way. But and at the same time, are we greedy? When we hear about another school shooting, or another subway bombing, or another case of child abduction or child abuse, when we hear about slavery, when we hear about sex trafficking, right, another war in which innocent men, women, and children are killed, where they are casualties. Now, I don't know about you, but I often wonder and ask, why, God? Why? Why is this still going on? Isn't your kingdom here? Or that's what the passage before this, chapter 18, talks about, right? The coming of God's kingdom. Didn't your kingdom arrive through Jesus? So why is it still going on? Or Jesus, when are you going to come back again and make all things new? Where there will be a new heaven and new earth, right? When the experience of sorrow and grief and hurt, pain will end, when there will be no more tears of sorrow? And how does Jesus reply? He says in verse 8, look at verse 7. It says in verse 7, right? It says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Right? However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Right? He says that justice will come quickly. It doesn't say now. It doesn't say immediately. It doesn't give us the exact time. And only God the Father knows the exact time. But what we should do in the meantime is to pray, not give up. And I doubt anyone here prays too much. Okay, I don't even know if that can be a thing, okay, where you pray too much. But what we learn here is that prayer should be a priority. Or sometimes prayer, it just becomes a ritual that we do before we eat. We're like, oh, someone just pray so we can eat. Instead of prayer, it should be something that we turn to daily for anything. And what I want us to do is to cultivate a habit that when we experience something in life that causes us to question, God, why? Why? I want us to pray. One of the first things that we do is pray. And I also wonder about how much of our prayers is actually crying out for God's justice to come. And most of the time we pray for safety, right? We pray for better grades, we pray for happiness, or for health. But I encourage you to begin or to continue to pray for our world, for our country, for the tragedies that we hear and see on the news, right? Isn't it, there's another hurricane, right? Right now, hitting the U.S. Right?
Is it Michael?
I think so. Right? Another hurricane. I think in Haiti there was a disaster as well. Right? All these things happening. Why? And did those people do anything to deserve it? I don't. Right? But unlike the Supreme Court justices, right, who worked very hard to be fair and to do what is right. They had to examine the evidences and everything, right? They have to be impartial. God is always fair and always does what is right. And God is so fair that he gives people the choice to live however they please. But because he is just, right, he also punishes people for the sins that they commit. But God, he doesn't leave it at that. But because of his love for us and for his own glory, he provided a way for us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming down to earth, living a sinless life, and dying a gruesome death on the cross, right, to pay the penalty for our sins. All right, perfect life for all our imperfections. And Jesus was raised from death to life, being victorious over death so that we could all truly live. Live life the way God intended so that we can follow hard after Jesus. So we who are children of God, we don't need to fear that God would act unjustly. Okay, like this judge in the story. Right? We don't need to worry that God doesn't want to hear our prayers. We don't need to worry that he is trying to avoid us, or that he's too busy to hear our prayers. Right? God's not going to put us send us to voicemail, right? like my friend. Or we don't need to. And if God does hear our prayers, we don't need to fear that he won't do anything about it. We don't need to be afraid that he'll be annoyed. But in the meantime, What we should do is that we should pray earnestly that justice be given. And then we live our lives as followers of Jesus. And with every decision that we make, we think, how will this impact ourselves and other people? Right? And by obeying God's will, people, they can experience a little of what heaven is like. Like, that is what, that's the church. It's the church. And people can see what it, a little more about what it looks like for God's kingdom to be here. Even what we do here, it's not perfect. But one day it will be. And one day when Jesus, right, he calls himself the Son of Man. Right, we find that in the book of Daniel. Right, Daniel often refers to Jesus as the Son of Man. And Jesus likes to refer to himself as that too. Right, he says that, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find followers of Jesus who have faith? Will we have faith? The faith that when we pray, we believe that there is a God, and that there is a God who listens. That's a very difficult thing to accept for a lot of people. Right? Like, you know, just praying up to something, right? That's very difficult to believe. But we believe that there is a God who desires to listen to our prayers, who cares for us. And despite all the things going on in our world today, in our lives, right, all the wrongs that we see, that this God will bring justice once and for all in the end. So I want to end with a reading from what is known as the Lord's Prayer. I think a lot of us are familiar with it. The Lord's Prayer. So the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And this is what he told them. And he told them by just showing them. So we don't have enough time to unpack it today. But I want you to listen and see. I want you to see what you can pick up, okay, from this. All right. So it's in Matthew 6. All right, Matthew 6, verse 9. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. And that's this type of prayer that we should have. This is what Jesus is talking about. To pray earnestly and don't give up, that your kingdom come and your will be done here. Eventually, now it's happening and also be completed in the future. This is how we should pray. So I encourage you guys to really have this mindset. Have this mindset. When you guys listen to news or see something, just pray to God about that. Doesn't mean that you also don't do anything. Like, of course, there are so many things that we can do. Right? We can donate, you know, to relief stuff. We can vote, right? And these things like that. We can, you know, ourselves, we can try and be some change, right? But at the same time, we also pray. And I think that instills in us this mentality that we ask that God come. That God come, please, God, like, that all this will one day end. So I just wanted to invite the worship team to just come back up as we just sing a song and have time of offering as well. And I just want you guys to pray. Pray as the worship team just plays some music. I want everyone to just practice that. Let's just pray. And then after a few minutes, we will collect the offering.
your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You're the one that we praise. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Give the healing and grace.
You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Ushers, please come forward. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that your will be done here, that your kingdom would come. That one day that everything will be made new, will be made right. Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Lord, we ask that these offerings would honor you. What we can give, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, we ask that these offerings would be used in a way that is wise, that can also be a part of your kingdom. I ask that you would bless us, or bless this house, or bless this church. We pray this name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, worship team. So, we have a few announcements.